Good morning to each one that has come out to service today. It's good to see everybody here. I've written the title of my message on the board today. I've written, After the Manna Ceased. I value the presence of the Lord very much and pray for inspiration this morning, for anointing, and for the power of the Lord. That means everything. So please pray for the message that it'll be effectual. I'd like to start in the fifth chapter of Joshua today, and we'll start in the 12th verse. Joshua 5, verse 12. It said, And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, neither one. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Our account started off this morning, and it said, And the manna ceased on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. We read, for the manna had ceased. How many years had the children of Israel been eating manna? Was it just a week or so that they had become accustomed to manna? They had been eating manna for 40 years. For 40 years, the Lord had sent manna down from heaven so that they could eat on manna. So where did it come from? Was it like condensation? Was it from accident? It came from God. The manna that came down from heaven came from God. It came from heaven. And it was from the Lord to a people that were in a desert place. And they needed something to eat. And indeed it was a miracle. Was it just a side dish to go along with all the other bounty that they had to eat? Is that what the manna's purpose was for? No. The manna was brought down from heaven to the people because they didn't have anything else to eat. They were in a tough place. And the Lord saw that. And so He came and He gave them something wonderful. But now, after 40 years of becoming accustomed to eating the manna from heaven, this verse says the manna ceased. Have you ever thought about that first morning when the manna wasn't there? This was 40 years. For 40 years they had seen manna. And I don't know about you, but I started thinking about, well, Maybe what happened was is it was real early in the morning and some children got out of their tents and went out to play, maybe sneak a few mouthfuls of manna, and they went outside on Monday and there was no manna. And they raced back in their tents and said, Mom, Dad, there's no manna out there. No manna out. No manna? What do you mean there's no manna out there? What would you think if that were you? No manna anymore? I don't know about you, but I wonder if some of them wondered, has God forsaken us? Does God still care about us? Does He not understand our need anymore? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever been blessed with things before in life and then all of a sudden it seems like those blessings aren't there anymore? And you wonder, has God left me? Did He forget about me? Do you know that sometimes in life, life brings some rough places sometimes. And there are times in life where we maybe have enjoyed some real blessings of life. And then all of a sudden we wake up one morning and it seems like those blessings have been taken away. And you wonder, is God still here? Does God still care about me? But I want to consider this. God sent the manna from heaven when they didn't have anything else to eat. And now it was time to conquer some giants. See, there came a time in their life when the purpose of the manna, when the time of the manna, when the right time for the people to eat of the manna, it had come and it had gone. And now came the time when the Lord was ready for them to conquer some more land. It was time now for the children of Israel to partake of the milk and the honey. It was time for them to defeat some giants and to go through some walls and to cross some rivers and to experience something else. The scripture, when we read here, said that they ate of the old corn of the land. And the first time I read through that, I kind of blew through that. And then it struck me, the old corn of the land. Now, did you know that God prepares a way for us? The corn was already there for them. It wasn't like they caught the Lord by surprise. It was, oh my, they're in a different land now. How am I going to feed them? But it said it was the old corn of the land. That corn had been planted before and it was there and it had been prepared. And when it came time for them to need something to eat, the Lord prepared the old corn of the land. And He had some other things for them. But it came time in their life, and this is part of the message I want to get across to you today. There came a time in their life when it was time to move on. It was time to advance. It was time maybe to get out of the comfort zone that they had been in for a long time. It was time to feed on something different. It wasn't that the manna was not good. But it was time to mature a little bit. It was time to maybe step into the water again. And I thought about, you know, the first time they stepped into the water it wasn't the water, but it was where the water had been. When they came out of Egypt, what was the first body of water that we read that they faced? It was the Red Sea. Did they have to step into the water before the water parted that time? If I recall correctly, Moses held out his staff, right, and the waters parted and they crossed. But the next time they came to the Jordan, well, they had to advance a little bit. Now, the waters didn't just part. This time, they had to step into the water before the waters parted. And I believe the Lord wanted them to know, listen, I want you to cross this river and remember the Red Sea, how I took care of you. Yeah, but Lord, you haven't parted the Jordan River yet. Lord, when you part the Jordan River, then I'll be ready to cross. But this time, the Lord said, step into it. It's time for you now to advance a little bit from having it parted, everything all set up for you with no real faith to have to take hold. Now you need to step into the water. Now the manna has ceased. But thank the Lord, that wasn't the end of the story. There was a story that happened after the manna ceased. The Lord wanted them to move on now. Now it's time to advance. It's time to take some more territory. You've been in the wilderness for a long time. You've been in the plains, and I've blessed you. I've sent you manna. I've fed you. I've given you what you've needed. But now has come the time where you need to take some more steps spiritually. It's time to enter the Canaan land. It's time to mature spiritually a little bit. You need to trust me. I know there's giants over there. But you can defeat the giants through my help and through my strength. Go forward. Meet the giants. You know, in our lives, the Lord is so faithful to give us what we need at the proper, at the different stages of our life. But then the Lord expects us to advance. And what happens sometimes if we don't advance and we say, no, Lord, I'm just going to stay back here. This is where my comfort is. The manna might cease and you're going to go hungry. But it's not that the Lord doesn't have something for you. Many times the manna ceases because the Lord is ready for you to go partake of the milk and the honey. God wants us, I believe, to get a hold of that today, that there's new blessings to realize just over the mountain ahead of us. The Lord wants to take us on a journey sometimes, and you know, one of the most difficult places of the journey is the in-between times. It's the times when maybe we don't feel the blessings of the Lord, and it's after the Lord has blessed us in this area and He's calling us to come over here, and we have to get from point A to point B. And one of the hardest things sometimes is to step away from where we become so accustomed to hang out and where God's blessings have been. And the Lord says, come. Come with me. I've got something for you over here. Do you remember the story of the blind man that the Lord took out of the city, walked him out of the city? You remember that story? Did the Lord do that every time to every blind man that He healed?
No, he didn't,
did He? Sometimes He came and says, what is it that you would like? And Lord, that I may see. Be it even unto you as your faith taketh hold. And they saw. But this time, there was a man that was blind and he wanted to see. But the Lord didn't immediately give him his eyesight. It said that the Lord, Jesus Christ, He took him and He led him out of the city. And I thought about that different times. I don't know, but maybe the blind man had a special place in the city. Maybe everybody was accustomed to seeing the blind man. Maybe that's where he got the most offerings. Maybe that's where he got the most help. May he become accustomed to what was behind him and what was on each side of him and in front of him. And yes, he was blind, but that's where he was comfortable, and he received something. He received some manna. But now the Lord said, you want to see, but come with me for a while. And the man had to get up from where he was and believe in Jesus Christ. And believe that whatever was at the end of the journey was better than where he was sitting on that curb. And the Lord took the man and they walked out of the city. And when they got out of the city, the Lord opened his eyes. And all the blessings that he had so far surpassed what he had experienced when he was sitting on the curb. Do you think he was glad that he went out of the city? Do you think that if there was some hesitation on his part, Lord, this is my spot right here, and if I leave, somebody else might take it. Lord, so-and-so usually comes at the sixth hour, and they usually give me a pretty good little bit, and Lord, this is getting close, and if I leave, I'm not going to get that anymore. And the Lord says, come with me. And the Lord, he got up and he went with the Lord. And God so blessed him. And I want you to be encouraged this morning that when the Lord comes along and asks and bids us, it's time to move. It's time to go somewhere else. When maybe we start to feel like the manna has ceased, you know that sometimes just because the manna ceases doesn't mean that the Lord has left us and has forgotten about you. Sometimes people do stray away from where God wants them to be blessed and they need to find their way back. But I think a lot of times the Lord gets our attention by waking us up and it's like, whoa, where's the Lord? I don't feel the blessings. I don't feel the presence. Lord, where did you go? It's not that He's left us. It's the Lord's looking back at us with a smile saying, I'm right here. Come on. I want to take you somewhere. It's okay that maybe it's going to be a little bit different. But trust in me. Believe in me. I've got a different place for you to end up than where you have been. And it's better. You know, sometimes you get older, and you think, you just get kind of settled where you are. Well, I'm too old to advance. I've got everything pretty well laid out. I'm happy with where I am. How old was Caleb when he took that last big mountain? Was he in his 40s? No! He was 80, 85, somewhere in there. But he said, there's a mountain that's for me. And I'm just as strong today. It's hard for me to imagine how an 80-year-old is as strong as he was when he was back in his 40. But that's what he said. He said, I can take that mountain. That mountain is for me. And he went and he took the mountain by the power and the strength of the Lord. And now he had new land. He had new ground. He had a new blessing. And I want to tell you today that the Lord comes our way throughout life. And He's not satisfied with us staying and remaining in the plains. He's not satisfied with us not moving and advancing forward. And movement and advancement, it involves sometimes discomfort. That distance between point A and point B is not, it takes faith. It takes some trust. It takes walking away from what you have become accustomed with. But it's not the end of the story. That's not the end when you get up from the curb and you begin to head out of town and say, hey, where are you headed? Well, I'm going out of town, but look what you just left. Yes, I know. Well, what's outside of town? I'm not exactly sure, but Jesus is the one that is leading me, and I'm going to trust that. And all the story that he had to tell after he went out of town and after he received sight, and he was able to go back into town, and he didn't need that old place at the curb anymore. Jesus Christ had opened his eyes and given him new blessings. And I want to encourage you today. God has some Canaan land for you to possess. The Lord has some milk and honey for you. I believe the Lord has some blessings for you that you have not yet experienced. And the Lord wants us to follow Him, and He wants us to trust in Him. And it, sometimes it involves doing things a little bit differently, and sometimes it involves doing different things. And, you know, as humans, that's hard for us a lot of times, to do things different. How many times have we heard, well, that's the way I've always done. Why do you do that? Well, that's the way I've always done it. Well, sometimes that's not a very good reason. Sometimes the Lord has a different way of doing things. When I read about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. And when you think about those fruits of the Spirit sometimes and you start to really dwell on them, did you know that the Lord wants us to understand love a little bit differently than we do today? He wants us to understand a little bit more about what His love is all about and how we can better demonstrate that love through our lives to other people. And when we start to get our hearts and our minds around a more clear understanding, many times it involves changes in our own behavior, changes in our own lifestyle, changes in our own actions, and sometimes that's hard. You can go through all the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and be challenged with that. But the Lord wants to lead us in those places because He has something for us. Let's be encouraged to do that. So the Scripture went on and it said, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there was a man standing over there with a sword. Now, I don't think this was looked like any old man. It caught Joshua's attention. Joshua was going out and he was scoping out Jericho because the Lord said, I want you to have that. And so Joshua, he went out to look at that land, and on his way out, all of a sudden there's a man standing over there with a sword. And I want to tell you something. That must have been some sight to see. The captain of the host of the Lord pulling a sword. Pretty dramatic, wouldn't it have been? And Joshua approaches him, and what Joshua's thinking about is, we're the children of Israel, that's the enemy, that's who we're going to try to conquer. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, whose side are you on? Isn't that the way we are a lot of times? It's my way or your way. This is the way I think about it. This is the way you think about it. Sir, which way is right? Neither way, if you ever thought about that. You know, sometimes neither one of you are right. There's a little different way to look at this. And Joshua came and says, hey, well, what side are you on? And he said, neither one. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. Captain of the host of the Lord. I'm not on either one of your sides. And I think sometimes, without meaning to, we bring the Lord down to our level. And it's like, Lord, are you on my side or his side? As if he's thinking about it exactly the same way I'm thinking about it. And the same way he's thinking about it. I read one time, and I may get this a little bit wrong. You can look it up. But one time, Abraham Lincoln was in a meeting with some of his folks, and they were making a decision on what to go do. And they were kind of coming to a decision point, and somebody spoke up and said, I sure hope the Lord is on our side in this. And Abraham Lincoln responded, and he said, Sir, he said, my concern really isn't whether the Lord is on our side. Well, now that got the attention of the group. Some of them gasping, wondering, what? He said, my chief concern is that we are on the side of the Lord. Because he's always right. May the Lord help us change our thinking just a little bit and our thought process. Lord, not are you on my side, but Lord, am I following you? Lord, am I in your footsteps? Lord, where would you have me to go? Because I may be all wrong where I'm at here. Lord, am I placing myself in the position that I can hear the sound of your voice? I want to follow the captain of the host of the Lord. The captain of the host of the Lord's never experienced defeat, folks. And he invites us to follow him. Which means that if we follow him, we will experience victory. Amen. And he's beckoning us. Come follow me. Yeah, but my corner over here, I'm expecting to get something at 3 o'clock. It's so far lower than what God has for us. And yet I fear too often we get in our minds what should be right for us and where I'm comfortable and this place over here is probably not the best for me for all of these reasons. We got a lot of reasons, don't we, as people? We got reasons for everything. We got a lot of good reasons to do the wrong thing a lot of times. I mean, we can put pages of good reasons why it's right to do the wrong thing. The world does that all the time. And the Lord's standing out there saying, I'm not on either one of your sides. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. And I want to put myself in position to hear what he has to say. And it said, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth. And it said, he did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Well, now at this point, Joshua was interested in hearing what he had to say. But Joshua was still wearing his sandals, wasn't he? He was still standing in his way of thinking. Joshua still had strapped to his feet the shoes that would take him in the direction that he thought was right. That's where Joshua was standing. Still had his sandals on. There's a little bit of a problem. But he asked the man, he says, what do you have to say to me? As he stood there in his sandals, strapped to his feet. And it said, the captain of the Lord of the host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And it said, and Joshua did so. Do you remember the other time that somebody heard God say, you need to take your sandals off, you're standing on holy ground? Who was that?
Moses.
It was Moses. Moses began to approach where God was. He began to approach a power that was higher than he was. He was approaching a way that far surpassed his way of thinking. He was approaching the ultimate and the epitome of truth. And God said, oh, take your shoes off. Unstrap your sandals. You are not unworthy the way that you think, the way that you are in your flesh. You're not pure like I am pure. You need to set your way off to the side because the ground that you're standing on is holy. And Moses had to do that before he heard the words that the Lord had to say. And that is what happened here with Joshua too. He said, what do you have to say to me? And he said, whoa, you got your sandals on. You're approaching holy ground. You need to take your way of thinking off. You need to set to the side what the way that you think is right, and then maybe we can have something to say. Does this give you pause? Do we ever go before the Lord with our mind kind of made up on kind of how we'd like the Lord to answer prayer? Or am I the only one that does that? Every man's way is right in his own eyes. I found that most of us think pretty highly of our own opinion. We put a lot of stock in how we think, don't we? And so many times I fear that we go before the Lord with our sandals strapped on. And we come before the Lord and we present our case and we're ready to tell the Lord kind of with a mind and a heart of how we really kind of like to see it turn out. And I don't want to minimize the fact that God wants us to bring our cares to Him. God wants us to come and say, Lord, this is the way I'm thinking about this. Lord, I don't know how else to think about it, but Lord, this is how I'm thinking about it. But I believe the Lord wants us to come with a willing heart, understanding that, oh God, You are so much higher than I am. Lord, Your ways are so much higher than my ways. Lord, You can see where I can't see. Lord, You know the end when I don't even understand the beginning. Believe that to hear the voice of the Lord and be able to get the instruction from the captain of the host of the Lord, we're going to have to be willing to take off our sandals sometimes. Amen. Which includes our self-righteousness. You know, that sometimes we can start feeling pretty righteous, pretty religious. We can feel like we've pretty well measured up. We come before the Lord and probably don't maybe approach the Lord hopefully like the Pharisee did. But you know that the enemy has a way of working in us and causing us to feel pretty comfortable about where we are spiritually. And if we could only see ourselves like God sees us, I believe we'd be falling over ourselves to take our sandals off and set them off to the side. Set our own righteousness off to the side. Set our way off to the side. Set our vision that is so dim off to the side. And come before the Lord, kneeling down in the dust. Oh Lord God, I need You. Lord, I need help. I don't understand like You understand. In the 10th chapter of Jeremiah, the Scripture says, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Do you believe that? Do we act like that? Do we pray like that? Lord, help me. Lord, help me to recognize on a daily basis not to get so caught up with my own way and my own thoughts and my own preferences and my own dreams and purposes that, Lord, I squeeze out and limit what You want to do in my life because the way of man is not in himself. And the 55th chapter of Isaiah tells us that His ways, they're higher than our ways. His thoughts, they're higher than our thoughts. The Lord is... He's in a whole different place than we are. And in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, in the 5th verse, He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Lord, help me to carry that with me each day. Every day, the psalmist said in the 37th chapter of Psalms, he said something similar. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. And if you skip on down to the 23rd verse, He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by himself. No, that's not what He said. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Why? Because he allows his steps and his way to be ordered by the Lord. Today, let's let our eyes be open to the fact that sometimes the manna will cease where we are. And the Lord is not because He has forsaken us.
It's because the Lord wants to take us to a mountain that He wants to give us. And He wants us to experience some milk and honey that we've never tasted before. But to understand how to take the mountain, we're going to have to be willing to unstrap the sandals off of our feet and set them to the side. And that can be so hard sometimes for us to be willing to do. Isn't it? Lord, would You answer my prayer? Lord, would You show me the way? But Lord, I'd like it to be this way. The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I'm God." Do you know it's very helpful to get still? Just be still. Be quiet. Lord, what would You have to say to me? Be still and know that I am God. Get down low before the Lord. Daniel, in one place, the 10th chapter of Daniel, he was seeking the Lord, and it said that he didn't eat any pleasant bread for 3 full weeks. He didn't anoint himself for 3 full weeks, and he got low before the Lord. That's pretty low. That getting from between point A and point B took some faith. Lord, I'm giving up something here. Lord, this is difficult for me. But did you know the Lord met him in such a wonderful, mighty way? And He said, "Daniel, beloved, beloved of the Father, from the first day that you set your heart, your prayers were heard. I was there. I didn't forsake you. I wasn't absent from you. I cared about you. But now you've got to the place where I'm willing to meet you. I want to bless you and I want to help you." The other day I related a story and a message a short time ago. I had a friend that I went to college with, and we were walking to our dorms one night and getting ready to part ways, and all of a sudden he turned to me and he said, "Rod, do you ever talk to God?" Well, I got a 19-year-old's attention. I said, "Yeah." I said, "I do. I said, I talk to God." And he said, "Does He ever talk to you?" And I said, "Yes, God talks to me." And he looked at me and he said, "Rod," he said, "how does God talk to you?" Eric was a very, very intelligent, individual in his own mind, and compared to others, analytically, very smart individual. And he was asking me these questions with just a little bit of an attitude, but I didn't bring it up. He did. "Does God talk to you?" And I said, "Yeah, He does." And I tried the best that I knew how to tell him how God talked to me and how I talked to God. And he looked at me and he said, "I'm going to go try to talk to God tonight." And I said, "All right." So we went our ways, and the next morning we came back, and he said, "Rod, I tried to talk to God last night and God didn't talk to me." And I said, "Well, He didn't?" And he said, Nope. He said, "I tried to talk to Him, but He didn't talk to me." He said, I guess God is just willing to talk to you and He's not willing to talk to me." Well, that was a hard thing to respond to, and we went on our ways, and after some time we separated ways, and I went somewhere else to a different school, and he stayed there and lost contact with him. And one night at 11 o'clock at night, my phone rang. I was in bed at a different school, wondering who's calling me at this time of the night. Didn't have caller ID back in those days. And I picked up the phone at around 11 o'clock and I said, "Hello." And he said, "Rod, this is Eric." He said, "I got saved."
Praise God.
And he was so happy. You could hear the Spirit of the Lord. You could hear the joy. You could hear the genuineness. He was just overflowing. Couldn't wait to call me. "Rod, I got saved." And I said, "Eric, that's wonderful." And he said, "Rod, do you remember way back? You remember back when I told you I was going to talk to God and I told you that God wouldn't talk to me back?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember that." I didn't tell him. I'd probably never forget. I said, "Yeah, I remember that." And he said, "The reason that God did not talk to me is because I was unwilling to humble myself before the Lord. I thought too much of my own way." He wasn't willing to take his sandals off. He wasn't willing to come before the Lord and recognize, "Lord, I need help. Lord, I can't take that mountain without you. Lord, I can't afford to stay in the plain here. Lord, I need You. I need help. I need the Word of God. Lord, I may feel like I have something in this earth, but Lord, in reality, I don't have anything. I'm empty. I don't have anything to approach Your throne with. And when He got to the place where He was willing to truly humble Himself down before the Lord, God met Him where He was and saved His soul and fed Him some milk and some honey. And I want to tell you this morning, I want to encourage you this morning, God has some experiences for you that you haven't had before. If you're in a place and you feel like, I've been in this wilderness place for a long time and I feel like God's blessed me in the past and He's done a lot for me, but I just feel like there's something missing. It doesn't necessarily mean that God has gone away from you and forsaken you, but God may be trying to get your attention. He may be saying, come, come follow me. I'm the captain of the hosts of the Lord, and I want you to follow me because I have some ground to give you. I have some walls I'm going to help you take down. I have some victories I want to give in your life. I want you to experience the fullness in your heart and in your life that you haven't felt before. And we've got to be willing when we come before the cross and we bow low before the cross and we take our shoes off and we take our ways and we set them down and we take our self-righteousness and our religion and we put it off to the side and we just get humbled down before God at the foot of the cross. He has promised to meet us there. He has something for you today if you're discouraged today. If you feel like you've been left behind, if you feel like these are just words for everybody else, but I'm in a place in my own life that I'm just different. The Lord doesn't have these blessings for me. That is a lie and trick of the devil.
That's right.
God came to bring this message to every person.
Amen.
God has the milk and the honey for you. It's not reserved for just the religious. It's not reserved for those that feel that look so righteous in their own lives. God came to bring His righteousness as an atonement for your sins. For every one of us, He came to take us by the hand and lead us across the river. He'll part the rivers for you if you're willing to step in. God's blood and His power extends to where you are. If you're willing to humble yourself, if you're willing to get low before the cross, if you're not, you're going to go hungry. And that may be why you're hungry today. But you don't have to remain hungry. God has some places for you with your name on it. He's got a piece of land for you that has your name on it if you'll come claim it. Isn't that wonderful? This morning I want to encourage you that the Lord has some mountains for us to take and He doesn't want us to become at ease in the plains. There is a story that comes after the manna ceased. The account we read started out and it said the manna ceased. But that was not the end of the story. Thank the Lord. Oh, the Lord had some old corn for them. He had prepared something for them. The Lord had some milk and honey. He had some land that had some grapes. And He had some fertile soil. And He had some ground for them to spread out and have something for their families. They had to be willing to step into the water. They had to be willing to put their foot down in the water and hear the voice of the Lord. And go when it didn't seem like it made sense to them. May God help our steps to be ordered by the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. He'll bring it to pass. Don't lean to your own understanding. Be willing to set that off to the side. And most of all this morning, don't be discouraged if the manna ceases, but be encouraged to press for the milk and the honey. Because there is an experience that follows after the manna ceases. May God bless each one of you is my prayer. He wants you to go away today seeking a special relationship with Him. He has a place for you that you have not arrived at yet. None of us have arrived. I want to seek those places. I want to follow after the Lord with a sense of urgency that I too might be able to experience and have a testimony of having tasted of the land of milk and honey. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.